Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, already for the worship that we have given unto you, and may you have been pleased and praised as a result. The worship of our lips, the worship of our giving, and the worship that we give back to you in thanksgiving when we partook of communion, Lord God, from grateful hearts of your sacrifice manifest within our lives, and we are so grateful. And we thank you also, Lord, that you are causing a people to become more sensitive to your Holy Spirit, to your wooing, to your nearness, Lord God. We know you dwell within us, but as the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that you are drawing us closer. Drawing us closer than we have been before. And I'm so appreciative, Lord. And to help those who may not have this kind of an understanding or how this can look more in their lives, so that this can be their own testimony that they are becoming more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and hearing you more clearly. Just not something, Lord God, that we talk about, but from a place that we live in you. So guide my heart, guide my thoughts, fill my mind, and let them flow freely upon my lips to the hearts of my brothers and sisters for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a lot of times when I'm seeking the Lord, and when I get up early on a Sunday morning, usually between 2 and 4 a.m., it takes a couple minutes to wake up. Any of you have a problem waking up in the morning, and it takes a little bit before you kind of get moving? And so I'll get up and I'll go in the kitchen and get a tangerine or an apple and a couple almonds and 32 ounces of water and a couple walnuts and put all that in me. Then I go upstairs to my office and make a cup of coffee. And by then, about 10 minutes have passed and got the computer on, my Bible open. And then I go out into the front room where there's this bench that I have there, and I kneel at that bench, and I just kind of begin reflecting back from this past Sunday all throughout the week and all the different things that have transpired. Maybe some of the things that the Lord has taught me, or passages during my devotional time, or what I shared last week or Wednesday, or some ministry situations that came up. And I begin reflecting back on the week, and Lord, what is it that you would like shared? We've been looking at the kingdom of God. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. We've been looking at how there's an attack, Lord God, on your church of the love that you've placed with inside of our heart, and how the enemy is trying to get us to be loveless, and how this world is trying to put a pressure to keep your love of God to yourselves. And where do you want to go today, Lord? I know that there is more that we can be led of your Spirit in, that we can hear you more clearly than we do right now. And over the years, I've probably read almost anything that has to do on being led by the Spirit. I mean, there's many great books out there, but this person has their three things you need to do, and this person has their five things you need to do, and this person has their 15 things that you need to do. And they're all nice. They're all good, and it's how God led each of them. But is that how God is leading me? And is that how God is leading you? And so as I began just thinking on that, I was brought, as most of us know, the passage from Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It just says this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons," or "these are the children of God." Well, we're children of God, right? Therefore, we're led by the Spirit of God. And so how can that become more developed in our lives? How can we become more sensitive to the leading, guiding of the Spirit? Are there things that we can initiate within our life to facilitate more of a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes. And it was amazing this past week that a couple of people came to mind, and a verse came to mind. And sometimes when things like that happen, we kind of dismiss it at times, or we don't pay a lot of attention to it, but the Lord is wanting us to pay attention to it. The Lord is wanting us to check with him about it. And I'm going to give you the passage of Scripture that came to my mind, came to my thinking, and I'm not going to tell you the people that I was to send it to, but Listen to these verses here. Philemon. How many of you have been in Philemon lately? Yeah, how many of you know where Philemon is? It's the last of Paul's letters, right before the book of Hebrews. It's the shortest. As most of you know, that they put Paul's letters, they put them in the Bible from thickest to thinnest. Okay? So they start with Romans, big, and they get to Philemon, little. And they put Hebrews afterwards because people are kind of questioning, did he really write the book of Hebrews? And that's why Hebrews comes after Philemon. So if you never knew that, well, now you do. I just want you to hear this. Let me start with verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And as I began thinking on that, a couple people came to mind. And, well, should I text that to him? Should I not text that to him? And I just kind of like dismissed it. And it's not a person that I usually communicate with. It's not people that I communicate with on a regular basis or a daily basis or even at a weekly basis or a biweekly basis. And wouldn't you know, a couple hours later, I get a text from one of the two of those people. And it's like, okay, Lord, all right, I'll go ahead and send this out. And it's really neat here because there's also been other ministries that I've been having with people and hearing of people. How many of you know or heard of a teaching which we refer to as dying to self? Okay? But how many of you know there can be an unhealthy view of dying to self, where a person is just introspective of what else do I need to die to, and they go to seek out that which they need to die to, and there is an unhealthiness in trying to get the dirt to be brought to the surface. Oh, there must be something wrong in my life. I got to find out what's going on. Where am I missing God? And there's always like a negative aspect instead of what it says here, the acknowledgement that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Have any of you ever dusted your house? And, you know, you're kind of looking for more dust, and you think you've done a really good job until you pull up the mini blinds and put back the curtains. Whoa! I thought I just cleaned everything. It was through the letting in of light that the dust was revealed. So when we focus on who the light is, when we focus on the truth in Jesus Christ, when we focus on what God's Word says our focus is to be, what needs to be exposed will be brought to the surface. Then we can repent of it. We can yield it to the Lord. We can have the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us, and we can allow that truth to take its place and move on with the Lord. And sometimes people have a very unhealthy view of dying to self. This is one of my life verses. It's Luke 9:23. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross, and follow me. And the Lord has taught me so much beautiful truth concerning that. When the Lord is talking about taking up our cross, he's also referring, remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, if it's possible, Father, for this cup to pass. But what was Jesus' response? Not my will, but your will be done. The focus of the taking up the cross is walking in or fulfilling the will of God for our life. And if at times it creates a painful experience, then it will. But remember, Jesus had 3.5 years of ministry time. He was doing the will of God, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. People were being healed. Demons were cast out. The dead was raised. The lepers were cleansed. He had all these wonderful things, but yet his life was going to fulfill something else. His life was going to become that what? That Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And there are going to be some painful times that we will experience in our life in accomplishing the will of God. And we may find ourselves in a time of weakness, in a time that we're getting ready to face something. Oh, Lord, is there a different way? But because we have had a journey with God, because we've had a walk with God, because we are knowing the heart of God and the will of God and the purposes of God and how God operates, then we will be able to say, like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Because it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, very plainly, that Jesus, what? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He knew the cross needed to be experienced, but he also knew it was going to be on the other side of it. And we have to know that God is good, and there's going to be something on the other side of what we're facing, the other side of what we're going through. And these are the type of things that we need to keep in proper perspective within our life instead of just focusing on the negative at all times. And it's very easy in Adam to focus on the negative. It's very easy to be a person who's down. And at times we can even look spiritual in that negativity. But is it according to what God's word says that our journey of our life is supposed to be going and what we're supposed to be acknowledging and the truth that we're supposed to be holding to? As it tells us in Hebrews, it tells us in a few places in Hebrews about the profession of our faith. What is it that your life is professing? What is it that is in the foremost part of your heart? Is it the word of God? Is it the promise of God? Is it the teaching of God? Is there something that's the foremost part of your life? Like I said, you let the light come in. And if there's any dust or dirt, it will be exposed. And that's when we are to deal with it. That's when that area needs to be crucified. That's when that we can see where that Adam part of us still is in existence, or that thought that has not been renewed to the word of God needs to have the truth of God's word put to it, and that can be changed and transformed into the way that God wants us to receive what he has to say. And so there is a perspective, there's a change that I believe that God is wanting to do in so many people's hearts, in so many people's lives. Because I hear not a lot, but I do hear some of this completely ripping and shredding, but I don't hear any victory side. I don't hear any life side. I don't hear any what the Lord has done on the other side of it. I guess there's something else he wants to rip me apart in. I guess there's something else he wants to slay me in. And I'm like, well, where is it God's taking you? What is it that he's showing you? What is the truth that he's trying to communicate? I don't know, but he's just shredding me. And I'm just like, that can be very unhealthy if we don't realize it and if we don't see it. Because God's word just plainly tells us right here in Philemon that we are to have the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. And so when we've got the Spirit of God dwelling within inside of us, we have God's nature, we've God's character, we have God's life, we have God's leading, we have God's direction. We have that which is needed for our life. And at times we need to be reminded of some of these things. And I don't know about you, but I don't want any cotton candy Christianity. I don't want any canned Christianity. I don't want any copied Christianity that I'm going to read from something and just try to put a new title on it, change some words around and bring it to you. Okay? I want something that is Christ-centered, that will just bring impact to our life, there's a confidence that there's there. There's a conquering spirit of Jesus that's alive with inside of us. There is something there that when it comes to the surface, thank you, Jesus. I know that you went to the cross and you've secured my right to be free of that. See, there is a profession of our faith. There is something, yes, if there's something that needs to be annihilated in my life, yes, I want it to be annihilated, but Jesus also secured the right for me to be free in that area. Okay, there's a freedom that we're supposed to be experiencing in Jesus in that area. Amen? And so, in my time of seeking the Lord this morning and going over some of these things, and as I was at that bench just talking to the Lord, all of a sudden, five names from Hebrews chapter 11 came to me, and only the five names. And I'm thinking, well, I know what the number five means. It represents grace, and you're giving me five names. And it was like the Lord was showing me that when these elements or when these parts are just a normal part of a Christian's life and experience, that we will just automatically become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I thought, I said, okay. And as I was sitting there, and the first name came, and the second name, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth name came to me. And I began thinking about what their names mean and the certain passages associated with them. And I'm not trying to think of, okay, what is the scripture for that? It just comes. As you're thinking of it, it comes. I may not know exactly where it's at, but I can find out later where it's at. And I thought, oh, that's very interesting, Lord. That's very interesting. And as you know, that the first five names in Hebrews chapter 11, Abel is the first name, and his name means breath. His name means breath. One who's given life, or one who breathes. And we know that he offered an acceptable or pleasing sacrifice to God. Do we not? Is that what he said? That he, when he offered an acceptable sacrifice to God. And the next person's name that is named is Enoch. And it says that Enoch lived for 65 years. And after his son was born, I believe was it Methuselah? That after his son was born, it says that he began to walk with God. And so Enoch's name means to be dedicated, and it also means to initiate. There was sometimes experiences happen within our life that change us, and all of a sudden there's a hunger for God that wasn't there before. There's something that transpires within our life that gets us, whether good or bad, that gets us to realize maybe the brevity of life, or the beginning of life, the miracle of life. Something changes, and our heart moves Godward. Okay? Then the third person that is named is Noah, and his name means rest. His name means rest. But we also have to realize that it says Noah moved with godly fear. Noah moved with godly fear. And so I started thinking about that. And I started thinking about some of Jesus' words, as he says in Matthew 24, in Mark, I believe, 13, and in Luke's gospel, about how these last days are going to be like the days of Noah. And how Jesus told us that these last days, before he comes for his church, that's the way it's going to be. But are we a people that are moving in that truth? Are we preparing an ark? Are we preparing ourselves spiritually in such a manner that not only will we be saved, but those that God wants to influence, that our lives are to influence, so that they can come into the ark of safety in Jesus Christ? And those were the first three names. And then Abraham's name comes next. And as most of you know, that his name means what? A father of nations. Or at one place, the father of faith, or the father of our faith. But remember, in order to be the father of faith or the father of nations, there's going to have to be what? A Sarah. But it does tell us in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham obeyed. Abraham obeyed. And are we a people, when the word of the Lord comes to us, are we a person who will obey? Are we slow to obey? Are we quick to obey? I will obey eventually. It says he obeyed. And we're going to look at some of these things. I'm just covering all of them right now real briefly. And then Sarah, princess or mother of nations. And you can't have a father of nations without a mother of nations. You can't have an Isaac without a mother. Okay, so Abraham could have had all the promises that he want. Without a Sarah, they were not going to come to pass. But it's amazing that it wasn't until God came and visited Abraham, I believe it's in Genesis 18, and begins to let Abraham know, and Sarah's listening, that she's going to conceive. And the word of God tells us that she laughed. You know, I'm old. You know, she's 90 at that time. I'm gonna have a child? And there's just a passage. Is there anything too difficult with God? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And we have to realize that no matter the impossibility of our own present circumstance, or our own present life, or what we may be facing, are we at a place in our walk with God? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? And can we allow a truth like that to come to us, that God, when that truth does come, and we start realizing how great he is, instead of our physical condition or the physical circumstance that we find ourselves in, or as the scripture says, the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was barren, instead of looking at our physical condition or the physical circumstance around us, can we get our eyes up to God, with whom nothing is impossible? And then he will give strength to conceive seed, or give us strength to be able to conceive or receive his word, and to take it in and believe it and know that it's going to bring its fruit to pass within our life. But there are, this is just, these five people that I began looking at just started showing me that we can all become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit through worship. We can become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we begin to acknowledge God and walk with God purposely, begin to dialogue with Him, to initiate conversation, to just to begin conversation, to dedicate ourselves to God. And you know what? I'm just going to begin talking to the Lord right now and just doing that. And when we see circumstances of the world taking place, and when we see things that are really rattling people's cages, wait a second, Jesus told us this beforehand. What is my part in preparing myself in my life with Jesus and being like Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and staying at rest with God while the world is in a place of unrest? Noah's name means rest. So can we still move on God's word and still be at rest with God? Can we still prepare ourselves and be a preacher of righteousness and share the truth with others and still be at peace? And the answer is yes, we can, for the saving of His household. The question is, who does God want to use you to become part of the household of God? To speak to share with, to communicate, to pray with, to encourage, to help. Or give you a Philemon 1, 5 and 6 verse that you need to share with somebody, you need to speak with somebody. And find out, wow, that is, I do need to make sure I share that with that person. It's not just for me, it is for them. And to follow that leading, follow that sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. And to realize that when the Word of God does come to us, as it came to Abraham, as you remember in Genesis chapter 12, when it speaks of God speaking to Abraham, He told him he's going to have to get out of his father's house. He's going to have to leave his own country. And he's going to go to a place which we now refer to as the Promised Land, to a place that I will show you. And there are times when God's Word comes to us, and that we realize when that Word comes, there's a choice or decision that has to be made. There is something that we may need to move away from. There is something that we may need to separate from and go unto. And there are times that God, by His own word, will be able to, when it's spoken to us, get out of your father's house. There's an influence here that does not, that influence cannot be in your life to where I'm taking you. And at times we have to realize certain influences that we need to sever ourselves from that influence. It could be an ungodly friend, or it could be a Christian who's backslidden that's having an influence on you, getting your mind to think about things. Wait a second here. Whoa, that's unhealthy. That is leading my thoughts to think about things that I'm not supposed to be thinking about. If you're not able to minister to it, and as I've told you, that your ear is not what? A garbage can. Okay? And your ear is not a gossip receiver. Okay? Are you strong enough to say, no, I will not listen to that. I will not hear those words. If you're not strong, then you need to separate yourself and not keep company with that person if you cannot minister back. If you cannot say no to it. Are you, you know, I told you one time that I have this article at home on gossiping. And the person, the thought says, I don't listen to gossip. And the person's like looking straight ahead, but their ear is like this huge. And there's a person with huge lips, you know, speaking to, I'm not hearing that. We have to be careful of, well, I need to know that for prayer. No, just the person needs prayer, okay? We have to be careful that there are things that sometimes people will share, and I just think you need to know this. And it may sound right, but it's not right. And if there's something that comes to you, nope, sorry, don't want to hear that. If that person needs prayer, I'll go before the Lord in prayer, and I'll pray for them. I don't need to hear all the garbage associated with it. Amen? And so these are things. So he obeyed the word of the Lord and had to separate himself. And at times for us to obey the word of the Lord, there's going to be choices that we need to make. And God has given us the power of choice to obey. God has given us the ability to go in the direction He wants to go, wants us to go from, and to make sure that if something needs to be severed, we can sever it in our obedience to the Lord so that we can go and dwell in the land of promise that He has for us. And so, you know, this was just, I'm leaning over my bench praying this, and these are some of the things coming to me. And so I'm just thinking about this and realizing, well, I said, Lord, this is so neat that You have already given us in Your Word, which to me, this is God's manual for living, the Bible. I just love everything about it. And when you get to Hebrews chapter 11, and you begin reading, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we have an understanding that we serve a God who's a God of faith. Even the word just goes on here. Well, let me read the next verse. For by it, this is Hebrews 11:2, for by faith, referring to the verse above it, for by faith, the elders, and those are five of the elders that I spoke to you about already, you know, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. In other words, they live by faith. They knew what they were supposed to do. They heard what God said. They followed the instructions given to it, and they did it by faith. They knew it came from God, and they knew that they were to follow the instructions that were given to them, or the revelation that came to them. And it also lets us know about God himself. In verse 3, for by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen, the visible universe, this earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that we see, hear, smell, that we see, everything that is seen in the natural realm was made by that which is unseen, which is the unseen God. And sometimes that just blows the mind of people, doesn't it? And so, since God does things like that, why would it be strange of him for him to give us a promise that we have not seen the result of, but we can accept it by faith, knowing that he is going to bring that result? And so that he gives us a promise that becomes an actual substance or reality to us. We haven't seen it. It's almost like you've heard me say our salvation. We weren't there when Jesus was crucified. Were we alive 2,000 years ago? Were you there? I mean, did you walk up and did you see everything that transpired and took place? But some reason, when I remember that day that I heard that gospel message, it's all true. It's all real. There was something alive by the Spirit of God quickening to the inside, to my spirit, that everything that preacher was saying was the truth. There was something that came alive on the inside of me. My spirit sparking, mating, agreeing, coming into contact with God's Spirit, and it's all real and it's all true and it all happened, and though I didn't see a thing, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof of something that was completely unseen or unknown to me. And see, this is what God does, and this is how we live. And these are, God gives us promises, God gives us things for us to grab hold of. But our mind or the flesh or the world, the devil tries to get in there and mess it up. Tries to get in there for us to disagree with it. Or fat chance anything like that's going to come across in your life. Or try to point out where you haven't grown in Jesus and like God's really going to answer you. God's really going to bring that to pass in your life, Pauline. Yeah, he is. Hey, I'm still a work in progress. And he's given me this promise and it will come to pass. Sometimes, whether our mind or somebody else, when they say things like that to us, it's to get us to disbelieve what God has already spoken to us. To get us in a place so that the confession or the profession of our faith is not a faith in God, it's a profession of that which is contrary to that promise. And we have to be careful of allowing a profession or a confession or an acknowledgement or an unbelief that is faith in something other than what God's word says to come out of our mouth. We have to watch ourselves. We have to keep ourselves. And that's why the Word of God tells us, I just love Romans chapter 8. Romans, there are so many passages or so many chapters in the book of Romans that I really love. Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 6, Romans 8, Romans 12. I like all of Romans, but there are certain chapters that really speak to me in God's Word. And it tells us in chapter 8, verses, 1 through 4 here, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then it qualifies the no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Not a period there. It goes on to continue making a statement. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So it says that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who have a spiritual maturing walk in Jesus Christ, who are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when a person isn't growing and they're in the flesh and they're not growing spiritually, there is a conviction that can eventually lead to a condemnation. If you continue on with that, you're going to miss what God has for your life. So there is a conviction that can lead to condemnation if there isn't the transformation that the Word of God is supposed to be bringing in our life. And I'm not saying you're perfect, but there's a walk of the Spirit. There's a walk of the truth. There's something you're always progressing toward. There is no condemnation to those that are making the spiritual progress in a spiritual walk in Jesus Christ. But if we're not, and well, I can just go out and do whatever I want to do. I'm saved by grace, and I'll just carry on the way that I want to carry on. That's not what the Scripture says. There will be a conviction, and if that is continued in, there will be a condemnation. Or, as the Scripture tells us in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 10, there are those who are in Christ that can do despite to the Spirit of grace, can offend the Spirit of grace. And that's the last thing I want to do. How about you? Is offending God in any way, shape, or form? Because I'm making some stupid choice on my behalf. And it goes on here in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. We are free. How many of you would agree with me this morning? Since this is Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 6 has already been written by the Apostle Paul. Sin does not have dominion over you. Sin, it's a choice. Because we're believers in Jesus, you can't say, sin made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. I can't blame sin. I can't blame the devil. I have to take personal responsibility or the Word of God, as we already heard today. I believe it was Guy that said it. Or was it you, Denise? 1 John 1:9. One of you said 1 John 1:9. Denise did. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as a Christian, I am going to sin. Yeah, I'm going to sin. Pastor Mark's going to sin. So are you. Because we're going to find ourselves, but I don't live there. I don't. For me to confess it means I had a choice. I didn't have to. If I didn't have any power over it, then why would I need to confess it? You know I don't have any power over that, so I don't have to acknowledge it to you. We have the power over sin. You don't have to commit it if you don't want to do it. But God has given us a way to cleanse ourselves from it if we do. Isn't that nice to know? Sin shall not have the dominating influence or controlling power over your life anymore because it's been broken in Jesus Christ. You've been given the gift of eternal life and you've been given the gift of righteousness. Righteousness has been imputed to you, given to you as a gift, and we live from eternal life and we live from our righteous standing in God's sight. Amen? So if we happen to blow it, we happen to sin, we happen to mess up, we happen to say something we shouldn't say, take personal responsibility for it, repent, move on. Amen? Don't sit there and wallow in it, live in it. Oh, I just did it again. 4 hours later, I did it again. 2 hours after that, I did it again. You know how many times in the beginning of my Christian walk I did it again syndrome. But you know what? Because I did it again, I repented again. I said, Lord God, you've given me the strength. You've given me the ability, Lord God. I don't have to yield. I don't have to give in to that. There's something I don't know yet about you. There's something I haven't been renewed in. There's something that my mind is continuing to gravitate toward, and I have not yet secured your truth in that area, so I'm going to continue through the washing of the water of the Word, planting your Word within inside me, listening to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Because at times, I tell you what, there's usually that little nudge what we on the inside, before we're getting ready to do something, there is that, I shouldn't. And that's that voice we need to listen to. Just immediately grab hold of that. Because the moment we don't, we'll gravitate toward an area that we shouldn't be gravitating toward, right? How many of you know you can have a great thought? You can have a good daydream. And it can turn south in a hurry. You know that? You could be driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and all of a sudden, jerk! And then and things start coming out of your mouth like, oh my gosh, where in the world did that come from? Thank the Lord that He allowed the person to cut you off like that to realize there's still something in there that needs to be cleansed. Oh, you're not like me, huh? Okay. What I want to get down here to is this part here. Let's start with verse 5 of Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh, their carnal appetites or the sense realm or their feelings or their emotions dictate more to them. It says they set their minds, they position their minds on things of the flesh or of the world or of the natural realm. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, you have to go back and take this portion, set their minds. When it says here, who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, we're a person who is living according to the Spirit, becoming more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, are allowing their minds, their thoughts, their feelings, their will, their emotions to be what? The things of the Spirit. In other words, listening to that, listening to the Holy Spirit when He has a different direction. Listening when there's an emotion or a thought that's starting to get out of control. Whoa, 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 that doesn't work the righteousness of God. That isn't of God. There's a correctus. There's a Spirit of truth. Let me just say this. There's a Spirit of truth that dwells within inside you. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. So whatever is not of truth, whatever is not of God, He will convict us of. And that we don't have to go there. Now, did you hear what I said? We don't have to go there. Not saying that we don't go there, but we don't have to. And like I said, God's made provision if we do. Okay? But the more that we set our mind on what the Word of God says, the more that we renew our mind, or as it says in Colossians chapter 3, one of the chapters you know that I love. If you then have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is seated, right? At the right hand of God. The next verse talks about this. Verse 2. Set your minds or set your affections on things where? Above. Not on things of the earth. Paul is just addressing it in a little bit different way here in Romans chapter 8. It's the purposeful setting of our mind or how we're thinking, how we're processing information, or your self-life, your self-thinking. How much do we govern our self-thoughts? And how many of you know if you let it go long enough, it's going to take off. If it's not governed, if you don't put a governing control on it, it will go in a direction that you should. But the more you're renewing your mind to the truth of God's Word, the more you know God, the more you're fellowshipping with God, the more of spontaneous worship that you have with God, the more that you have an able lifestyle. Able means breath. The more that we spontaneously worship God, the more that there's a passage, I believe it's Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That we can redirect our thinking, we can redirect our breath, we can redirect our words. How many of you know that the words come out of your mouth are usually thoughts inside your head? Okay? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we're full of, okay, that's all I need to say, will come out of our mouth. So Paul's trying to say, I'm telling you what you need to get full of. I'm telling you what you need to fill yourself with. I'm telling you where to be looking to the one who's seated at the right hand of God, our Savior. No, not just Savior, our Lord, our King, our Master, the surety of the new covenant, the one who's going to bring to pass God's promises within your life by the indwelling Holy Spirit, the one who's going to make sure that He's there to aid and help you, and He's interceding on your behalf, the one who is for you. Get your eyes on Him and His indwelling presence within your life by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we forget that. How many of us, I just the things I just said, the last couple sentences, we forget. We don't even have a conscious thinking of Jesus as not just Savior, but as Lord, as controller, as the final say, as that He has the truth for our life, the one that's wanting to shepherd us and lead us and guide us, the one that is there for us. He's there to help us, to bring aid to us at the moment we need aid. There's a passage that Denise read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, talking about all things that are naked in His sight, and there's nothing hidden. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him. Wow. How many of us like that? All things are open to the eyes of Him. I mean, you know, we're hoping we could put up something that He doesn't see everything, right? To whom we what? Must give an account. indicating to us, the next verse indicating to us that there are weaknesses that we have. There are frailties that we have. There are areas that we are not strong in. But it's okay to acknowledge them, but to bring them to the one who's got the answer. And that's why the next verse says, it says, seeing then, he sees us, seeing then, we have a high priest who has passed through, he's been here on earth, he's secured our complete release from sin, from Satan, from the effects of it, from the condemnation of it, from the sentence of it, from all aspects of it. He has set us free. Now he's passed through the heavens. He's returned back to Father God. He is seated in his king dominion seat. We go to one who's our great high priest, who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. What is it you're holding fast to? What truth, what promise, what teaching do you believe that God has been speaking to you lately? I know this is what the Word of God says. You know, it's just at times I just don't feel strong enough to know that it's going to come to pass within my life. He wants you to grab hold of that. Lord, this is what your Word says, and you know me. And I'm just at this present time, I'm sensing some weakness. I know what your Word declares. I know what you're wanting me to believe. And I've got this place of weakness. I'm just not right where I need to be. I tell you, there is grace that God has for you. There is some strength. There is some favor. There is some ability of God that He will transfuse to you at the moment that you need it. But we need to apply. We need to ask. What's the next verse say? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. In other words, we have a high priest who can identify with everything that we go through in life because he journeyed this life just as we do. He faced everything that we face in life, and he's able to identify with every one of you. He knows what it's like to face that, but he also knows like what it's to overcome it. He overcame it, and he is now going to help you in your weakness to overcome. And this is what he says. But was in all points... Let's go back up. But was in all points, what? Tempted, tested, and tried as we are, yet he didn't give in to the sin, yet without sin. So it tells us he didn't give in to it. We may feel like we're giving into it. This is what his Word says. I'm coming short of it, but I don't want to come short of it. So I'm going to go before my high priest who conquered it all, and I'm going to ask something of him in my time of weakness. And I think sometimes for Christians, it's hard for us to acknowledge our weaknesses. I think in James 5, it says we're to confess our faults one to another and to pray for one another that we may be healed. And at times, we don't like to show any side of weakness, but there's a right way of saying it. There's a right way of confessing it. You know, this is what the Word of God says, and I'm believing God in this area, of trusting Him in this area for. And at times I'm struggling with what this says. See, you're acknowledging the truth, but you're also acknowledging that you're not as strong in that truth as you need to be. Would you join your faith with my faith in agreeing with me concerning this truth? Okay? A lot of times when a person comes up for prayer and they say something of a need within their life, my answer, or I ask with another question, what is God showing you? What has God been speaking to you? And well, the Word of God does say this. I said, so let's grab a hold of what God's saying and apply that to your weakness, and I'll pray for you that area of weakness. See, at times a person feels condemned, or and it's really convicted that they're not coming, they're falling short of what that truth is that they're supposed to be living like or becoming. And so there's a condemnation that comes on. No, God is just trying to show you, this is what His Word says, this is where you're at, and He's wanting you by faith to go ahead and accept it. So let's just go ahead and agree, and let's apply this verse here. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4, the last verse. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Condemnation? To the throne of what? Grace. Favor. God wants to bestow His favor upon you. God wants to bestow His ability upon you. God wants to help you. God is not going to sit there and like, next week, I'm serving number 10 now, and you're number 132. And you got a little while before your number is called up, so just have a seat there and just hang on. No, it says, let us come before the throne, what, boldly? confidently, knowing that God wants to respond, God wants to speak, God wants to answer, God wants to lead, God wants to show. God wants to prove himself. God wants to display himself. God wants to lead you. God wants to teach you. He wants to instruct you. Come before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, that we can get God's help. Sometimes, you know, I'm not very complicated when I talk to God. Lord, I'm really having a hard time. I need your help in this. Your word says this, and you see what's happening here. Can you please help me? What's that? Two sentences, three sentences? I'm sincere. And I know he hears me, and I know he responds. Okay? To find grace to help in time of need. Now, at times, if you take your time and look up some of these words, to find grace to help in time of need, to help in time of need, it refers to, one of the definitions it refers to, as a person is in the water, treading water, and they're having a hard time treading water, and it looks like they're going to sink. And they, help me! And it refers to throwing a line or a preserver out to them to grab hold of where they're at to be brought to where they need to be. So he meets you with that is going to preserve you, but to draw you in where you need to be. Isn't that? I was like, oh, I love that. I was in the Coast Guard. I love that. I love that at all. You're like, oh, I know it's throwing out a line to somebody and drawing them into a place of safety. But there's something about when you're treading water and you're having a difficult time sustaining in water and you have a life preserver on. Or you have something that's helping with your buoyancy and then to be brought to a place of safety. I don't know about you, but when I'm out there in the ocean and I've got a life preserver on, I don't have to work to stay afloat. That which I've been given keeps me afloat. Okay? And so you have to, God wants to give you something of himself right where you're at to keep you afloat and know that he's going to draw you in where you need to be. And see, these are just some of the things of how we can become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just in something like this, when I'm weak, I know what the Word of God says. I'm going to go to God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who brings these things to remembrance. He's the one that quickens these passages to you. And at times, I believe that we don't even realize that we're being led of the Holy Spirit. When a passage comes to mind, or when you find yourself worshiping the Lord, you're finding your breath just going out to him. It says, I think it's in Hebrews. Look, find this one. See if it's Hebrews 13, 15. It should be somewhere around there. It's talking about offering the sacrifice of praise. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. When it talks about sacrifice of praise, you're not wanting to do it. It's nice to come into church. Didn't you love the songs today? I mean, those are just so edifying. But how about when everything's not good? How about when things are tough? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. You know, you ever find yourself when it's difficult to praise God, when things aren't going good, when maybe your body's racked with pain or the situation isn't good, to offer a sacrifice of praise? But if you know God and if you know the character of God and you know the promises of God and you know that God is in control and he's in control of your life and he knows, it tells us in Isaiah and other places, he knows the end from the beginning. So if he knows the end from the beginning, then he knows where the next part of the journey of our life is going, and he's already made a provision. Because I know God, and I know his word, and I know his character, and getting to know him more, I can go ahead in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why? Because God has the answer. He knows where my life is going. He has a provision. Even though that it's knocked out from underneath me, I'm broken in a million pieces, he's going to make something beautiful out of it and keep me going on in the direction he wants me to go. These are things that have to be so real on the inside of us. And this is just one simple way that we're being led by the Holy Spirit, becoming more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because the more that you get into God's Word, the more that you understand the character of God, the nature of God, that you realize in what's the most horrible thing that can happen to us? We die. You know, this is what I remember reading this one guy's book many years ago, probably 20 plus years ago. And he talked about knowing who you are in Christ. And if a person would understand who Jesus is and their position in Jesus Christ, that if I was to ask you a question today, who are you? And a lot of times people will say, I'm a wife or I work at, will give some sort of description about our life of what we do. And God is not asking us about what we do. Who are you? I'm a child of God in Jesus Christ. So if you lose the ability, as the scenario said, if you lost your right leg, would you still be who you are in Jesus Christ? If you lost both legs, would you still be who you are in Jesus Christ? If you lost both legs and both arms, and had no ability really to do anything, and you were completely dependent on the care of other people, would you still be who you are in Christ? Because a lot of times we live in a merit society and we look at things that we can do. And we judge and base our life off of what we do. In order for people to get promoted, you got to do good, get good reviews, get good. Nothing wrong with that. But because we live in a merit society, we brought that into Christianity. And the only thing that we believe that we can accept, well, I got to do this and I got to do that. No, I get to do this and I get to do that because I'm a child of God and it's my nature. And I don't want to do those things. And if there's something within me that doesn't want to do it, I need to be renewed to the truth and just yield myself. I'm not doing it to earn brownie points with God. I've already got all the points with God. And so the Word of God tells us we're saved by grace unto good works as the result of me being saved. I find myself doing that which is pleasing in God's sight. And if there's still a character default with inside of me that has not been renewed to the truth, then as I'm progressing to the Lord and I'm following the Lord, that comes to the surface. That is of Adam, Mark. That is of Adam's nature. That is of your old self. That is not of me. Oh my goodness gracious, Lord. Your word tells me if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's supposed to be past in my life. Lord, I just repent of that right now and the influence that that brought into my life and how it's affected my thinking, Lord. And I forgive those people that did those things to me, that I've made those kind of choices. Now I've hurt other people, Lord. I just ask you, Lord God, to cleanse that from me because your word says that I'm supposed to look at this person and look at that situation in love. And even though that person isn't alive anymore that did that to me, I, Lord God, I choose to forgive that person. I choose to release that person, Lord God. They no longer have an influence in my life. Their words have no power in me or over me of what they used to say about me or to me. Your word is the dominant effect upon my life, Lord God. You are the one I choose to listen to. You have become my parent. You are the one who schools me in righteousness. I follow your character. I follow your nature, Lord God. I grab hold of your promises because you make everything new, and that's where I'm supposed to live from. See, these are purposeful thinking that we have to do. And you're going to find yourself being led and guided more by the Holy Spirit when we make those kinds of choices, or that Philemon chapter 1 or that Philemon 5 and 6, begin the acknowledgement of every good thing in you in Christ. If you're a new creation, that's already in you. All the resources of God are available to you. It's through opening up the Word of God, the discovery of what He's placed within you, bringing it to the surface, showing you the life that you're supposed to be living, knowing that we are overcomers. I'm an overcomer. How about you? What does the word overcome mean? Something's going to come up. I'm going to have to overcome. I'm going to have to face, whether something in my life, in my thinking, a personal situation, it's going to come. Do I just sit there and let the wall be there? Or do I find out what God's word has to say about it, accept the truth of that word, believe the truth of that word, and overcome that obstacle, overcome that situation, deal with it, repent of it, whatever the case may be. See, we can all become more like Abel. We can let this breath, instead of being a complaining breath or a mocking breath or a gossip breath, be a breath of worship, be a breath of the acknowledgement of Him, be a breath of truth, even when it's a sacrifice of praise that is needed. We can all become more like Enoch. We can know, we can purpose in our heart, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12. He tells us in verse 1, he says, I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, brethren, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service, that we can purposely dedicate ourselves to God. And sometimes I may have to do that maybe once a day, once a week, every other week, but I find myself, if something else is in charge, if something, Lord, I just, right now, Lord God, these thoughts have not been of you right now. I thank you, Father, that my mind is committed to you, Lord God. My life is committed to you. I don't conform myself to this world because my life has been dedicated unto you, Lord. I live to you, Lord God. I allow your word for the renewing of my mind, that I may prove, that I may experience, that I may live your good, acceptable, your agreeable, and perfect will, Lord God, in my life. That is what I live for. And sometimes we just have to remind ourselves of our dedication to God. We don't live after the world. We are a God kind of person. Amen? And then realizing, as we've been facing here in this world, we have to realize that we live in a world that's changing. We live in a world, as Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be before he comes. And we have that understanding. And if you go back and read in Genesis, it says the intent of every man's thought was on evil continually. It didn't matter where the thought came in, it took a dive in the wrong direction. The intent of a person's thought went to evil continually. And there wasn't going to be any salvation for any of them because it polluted the entire human race. But we are people that are at rest with God because we believe the gospel. It tells us, you can go through and read Hebrews 3 and Hebrews chapter 4 about those who have the rest of God. The word which we heard, the gospel which we heard, was mixed with faith in those of us who heard it. And we believed on Jesus and we are now at peace with God. We now have the rest of God. So we are at peace and we are at rest with God. Even though there's conflict, you can still be at peace with God. Jesus said, I've told you all these things ahead of time. Continue preparing your ark. Continue growing in Jesus. Continue becoming strong in the word. Continue to be a preacher or proclaimer of righteousness to those who need to hear. Those that God still wants part of his family. Make sure we have the proper perspective while we're still living here. Instead of allowing fear to come in, allow faith to arise. I'm going to continue to build myself up in the Lord. And sister, brother, do you know the Lord? If not, you need to hear about him. And look for those that are willing to listen and willing to hear, so they can come into the safety of Jesus Christ that you are experiencing. Amen? And so that we can be like Abraham when the word of God does come to us and reveal something that we need to be separated from. You know, Lord God, this is your truth, and this is something old of my life. No, I am leaving that father's house. I'm leaving Adam. I'm leaving the devil. I'm leaving all that which is not of you, and I am embracing all that is of you, and you cause me to journey in the land of promise. And let me just say this about the land of promise. The land of promise isn't heaven. Okay? Because in the promised land, there were Hittites and Girgashites and all those other ites there that they had to dispossess the land. There is an inheritance that we have when we get there. There are promises that we have when we're there. But there aren't going to be enemy dwellers in that land. And while we're still here, God has his word of promise for us. As the word tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, there are many promises or many things that accompany salvation. And he is what? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, all the promises of God are what? Yes in him and amen in him. When? Now. Now. And so the enemy is going to try to keep you from God's promise. The world is going to try to keep you from God's promise. Your feelings, maybe a pain in your body, something happening to you personally is going to try to come against that promise. And you've got to dispossess that. No, 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 no. God's word is true, and that's what I accept, and that's what I rely on. Everything else got to line up to it. Get out. I will not agree to that. There's something that has to rise up within us, a tenacity. A courage, a boldness, that you're willing to side with God. You know what? I tell you, I side with God no matter how I feel. And at times, it's difficult. But it can be done. And it is being done. And so, how about some of us that are like Sarah? We're born again, we're spirit-filled, and we're in the land of promise, but sometimes, personally, that promise isn't being experienced. We seem like we're barren. So-and-so is experiencing this, and this one's experiencing that. Hello? Anything for me? 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 And at times, don't you sometimes get jealous about other people? You hear their testimony and, well, maybe when I get to heaven. No. No. God's word is for you. God's promise is for you. God's teachings are for you. All that the word of God says that is supposed to be how we're to live and how we're to be and what he has for our life are for us in this lifetime. But we sometimes look at the barrenness of what we're going through. But God so loves us even in our barrenness. We could be amongst the people of God and everybody's being blessed, people being prospered, there's wonderful things happening and still nothing yet here. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Hope it's not that long for you. 20 years, was Sarah, right? 20 years. But then God has a way of showing up. God has a way of coming. God has a way of reminding us of a promise spoken a long time ago, and we may thought it was going to come to pass in a different way, but God has a way of bringing it back afresh to you, and you're able to hear. No, I'm just not speaking this for Larry. I'm just not speaking this for Sharon. I'm speaking this to you. This is you that I'm speaking to. And you might say, it's been so long. How's that going to happen? You know, all these things that have happened in my life, and how are you going to bring that to pass in my life? And all the Lord has to do is remind you of who he is with the simple statement that it says over here in Genesis chapter 7, chapter 18. Let me just find it to you, and we'll probably close with this. Genesis 18, when God shows up. I like it when God shows up. How about you? In verse 1 of Genesis 18, then the Lord appeared to him, or to Abram, by the Tibernith trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. But we drop down here in verse 9. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, here in the tent. So there's a tent. Got to see, got to get the picture here. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys are visual enough. Abraham sitting at the door of the tent, and Sarah's inside the tent. Okay, so, I don't know, let's just say this is the tent right here. And if I'm at the door and Christine's right there, she's probably going to hear the conversation that's going on. She's in close proximity. Where's your wife, Sarah? Bung. Tell me, let me ask you this. If your name is mentioned in a group of people, does not your ear... I mean, you can block out every other conversation that's going on and tune in to whoever may be talking about you. I remember when my mother, she spoke German, she's from Germany, and she'd talk to her girlfriends on the phone in German, and she would say, der Kinder, the children. Mom, you talking about us? There's just a way that you just able to hone in on what's being said. Where's your wife, Sarah? Can you just imagine? Got her attention, right? Oh, she's inside the tent here. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, 9 months. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was what? Listening. In the tent door, wherever she was at, your name's mentioned, don't you have a tendency to draw a little bit closer? Somebody's talking about you in a group, and you just got to, you kind of reposition yourself, kind of like looking at the wall, but getting close. You don't want to be too observant. And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. So, I mean, she's like right there. Now, Abraham and Sarah were what? Old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Any of you here past the age of childbearing? Do you really want to hear what I'm going to read the rest? No, okay, never mind. Sarah heard what was going to be said. She heard that she's going to have a son. According to the time of life, what I just read. And look at verse 12. What does Sarah do? And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, Shall I have pleasure, my Lord? Have pleasure, my Lord being old also, or Abraham being Lord also? See, at times, doesn't that, when you're facing certain things in life and you've walked on, you've journeyed on and for at a certain distance in the Lord and you're part of the family of God and the household of God and a promise comes, do any of us ever get to the point where we go, yeah, right. Yeah, as if like it's a fantasy. Oh, yeah, I wish. You know, sometimes we allow ourselves to get in a place when it comes to a promise that God is wanting to speak to us, that it's because we've journeyed so long and we've not experienced that, or it has not come to pass, that at times we don't even realize that there's an unbelief there. That there's something that we don't even realize, a slow erosion, that it's, well, it can happen through my servant or it can happen through this person, but you don't see it happening personally for you. And so when it comes personally to you at times, yeah, right. You ever do a yeah, right? Okay? I've done yeah, right. I'll just tell you. Like, oh, yeah, really? You want to do that, Lord? But then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a son since I'm old? Listen to this. Verse 14, we all just need to grab hold of this. Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody needs to grab hold of it in your chuckling thing about the promises of God or something that needs to transpire. Maybe somebody you're trying to believe for, a situation that's occurring, and we just kind of laugh at it. Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to happen. Fat chance for that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Just stop right there. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And at times, God wants to feed our faith to get us out of a circumstance or situation that may have caused hurt within inside of our life, may have caused despair within inside of our life, may have caused us to somehow lack, not believe God in our life, or because we've experienced lack, or something isn't going the way that we think it should be going by this time. Hear this today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And so what would be your response? No. Remember what the angel of the Lord told Mary in Luke 1:37. For with God, all things are possible. At the appointed time, now listen to this, at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, how many of you know that there are seed time and harvest? Okay, how many of you know that every seed has its own time? A radish in 45 days. Okay, you can eat a radish. Tomatoes, 100 and something days. Every seed has its time to be taken, to be placed in the fertile soil, and for it to grow and to produce its fruit. And so everything is going to have its harvest time. And at times we think it should be radishes, and it could be an avocado, which is 7 years from the time of seed till you get avocados. And we get upset because 45 days have passed and we're not seeing the fruit, and it may be an avocado promise that's going to come to pass within your life. And at times we may let it go. And God is like saying, no, if I have spoken it and you know I've spoken it, it will come to pass. At the appointed time, and the appointed time spoken of here was 9 months, as when a woman gets pregnant, in 9 months it's going to come to pass. So at the appointed time, or at the right time, it's going to come to pass. Just don't let go of it. Continue to feed it. Continue to nourish it. Continue to hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, the scripture says, and to grab hold of it. And I tell you, I've been in some precarious things. And at times, things really attack you, and you're, okay, Lord God, I'm holding on. It's a little bit of a drought season here. I need some rushing water here to water this, because I'm not letting go of it. And these are sometimes just some of the bold-faced truths that we need to grab hold of, even when it looks like there's a desert around us. Amen? And we know that she did bring forth a son, and I want to bring this part up here. As you know, what was the son's name? It was already told before what his name would be called. His name is going to be called what? Isaac. Now, just remember this. She wasn't the first one who laughed. Abraham first laughed. Most of us don't realize he was the one that laughed first. Over here in chapter, is it 18 or 17? Uh, Well, it's over here somewhere where Abraham laughs. I don't have it written down. I know it's on the left side of my Bible, so where's it at, Lord? Okay. It didn't, but he's the one who laughed. Oh, yeah, okay, all righty. Thank you, Jesus. I said left side. Okay, chapter 17. And it says in verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He's the first one. Okay, so we all think of Sarah as the one who's laughing, right? And said in his heart, almost just like what Sarah said, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, he thought that was the way to go. You know, the one that he had through the servant, Egyptian servant. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call, what, his name? Isaac. And Isaac means what? Laughter. And if I could just say this, when the promise of God comes to pass within your life, it should bring forth joy and laughter. And I think there needs to be more joy and laughter in the lives of believers in Jesus Christ. We should have more of an expectation of God's goodness in our life than the situations that are taking place in this world. God says all of his promise in him, or yes, and in him, amen. So that our lives should be filled with joy and laughter in receiving the promises and experiencing the promises of God. Because when you do, and that joy and that laughter is on you, what are you so happy about? What are you so merry about? What is going on inside your life? Because there's a countenance change. Let me tell you, it says it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And how many of us? How you doing? Fine. I'm just hanging on, brother. I'm just trying to get through it right now. You want prayer? I've already had prayer. What do you mean I need prayer? I mean, sometimes we get so defensive when people ask us if we want prayer. You know? Instead of, you know, I have been facing some difficult times, but there is a promise. There is a promise that I'm believing God for. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging something that you're facing, but is there a promise that when you're facing it, you're grabbing hold of? Or is it just a bleak outlook? And so after 9 months, a child comes, and the Lord visited Sarah in chapter 21. As he had said, grab hold of that. God does what he says, okay? And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. The Lord will do for you as he has spoken. Amen? Ooh, man. We're going to have to work on this some more here. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in her old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. I want to drop down here to verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me. God wants to bring to pass his word and his promises individually in your life, so that when you experience them, it impacts others and encourages somebody else. If God did that for you, he can do that for me. And if God did that for me, he can do that for you. And this is a place of just gently, once again, through worship, as Abel did, through dedication and initiating conversation with God as Enoch did, to begin a walk with God, to begin a talk with God. We don't know how long it was before God began responding to him, but he started talking to God. Some event happened in his life. A child was born. His perception of life, this miracle of life, something occurred which drew his attention to God. And there are events that happen in your life that cause you to look to God more than you do. And the same way that we see the circumstances of this world in a negative way, we can move with godly fear, and we can continue to prepare ourselves, because we know that we know the day of God is coming. And John the Baptist said this about these priests that were coming up to him, Who has warned you to flee the wrath that is to come? Bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. You see something's coming, but are you really repentant about it, or you just want to be one of everybody else that's coming to be baptized to me? Is your heart really in it? And at times, God wants to make sure that when we see things going on, we're not, yes, there, at times there can be a concern, but my greater faith, my greater concern is, am I going to still grow spiritually? And am I still going to go on with God? Am I still going to influence other people for Jesus Christ? That no matter what's happening, can people look at my life and see that I'm still progressing with Jesus? Yeah, these things are going on, but Jesus said all these things are going to go on. And he tells those that endure to the end, Matthew 24, verse 13, those that endure to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all nations as a witness, then the end will come. He tells us where our priority is to be, on the good news of Jesus Christ and manifesting that life to others. And that when God speaks a word to us, we'll be like Abraham, we'll obey that word, and even if we're going through a time of dryness or barrenness within our life like Sarah did, God still will come, God still will speak, and he will still produce his fruitfulness within your life. Father God, I want to thank you through just these simple five names, these elders, like you say, of the faith, these people that we can look to and go back to and read about, Lord, to inspire us, for us to be quickened just a little bit more to the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, to become a little bit more sensitive to your life within us, Lord God. That no matter what's going on, Lord, that we can offer the sacrifice of praise unto the fruit of our lips, praising your name, giving glory to you, thanking you, Lord God, for the salvation that we have in Jesus and where we have come so far, Lord God, from where we first journeyed with you. And not just having to look at the present circumstance, but looking where we are at with you to the acknowledgement of every good thing that we have in Jesus Christ that dwells within us, Lord. And yes, Lord, when we see the progression of the way things are going in the world and the lawlessness, and yes, the love of many growing cold, we don't have to let our love in you grow cold. We can foster that love. We can grow in you during times of difficulty, Lord. We can become a sign to others, Lord God. Continue to believe God. I'm believing God. Let's walk on with Jesus no matter the circumstances, no matter the time that we live in. And that when God gives us a clear word of prophecy, and wants us to obey it, that we follow you, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, if we are sometimes like Sarah and we see all these other things happening in people's lives and we don't see that promise yet coming to pass within our life, let us be encouraged, Lord God, by a sure word that you will come by your Holy Spirit and encourage us, Lord, with that promise. And you will speak to us, is there anything too hard for me? And our answer, no, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. Just as I have said to you, there's an appointed time. It will be fulfilled in your life. Just trust me. Don't let go of that promise. Don't let it become barren. Don't let it become... Don't let it become washed out. But grab hold of it. Hold to it. For it will surely come to pass in the appointed time. So we thank you, Lord. We can look to you in all things. But we begin, even like right now, we begin by a simple praise right now from our hearts. From all of us here this morning, we say thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We say thank you, Father God, for your great love. We say thank you, Holy Spirit, for the presence of your fellowship right now. We acknowledge you. And we are so grateful that we heard your call and we responded to your call. We're so grateful that we are called your child. We're so grateful that you have blessed us. And there's still so many things, Lord God, that you want to reveal to us about yourself to further bless our lives, that we can become a further blessing to other people. And so here we are, Lord God. We right now, Lord, purpose in our heart right where we are. If anybody here today needs to dedicate themselves afresh, that they do so right where they're at right now. May not have been walking with God as they should have been walking or listening online right now. And they say, you know, Lord, I've allowed these certain excuses and reasonings to come in as to this and to that. But you know what, Lord God, I just repent of them. I just ask you to forgive me of my unbelief or my excuses right now. And I just give myself afresh unto you. I dedicate myself to you. And I dedicate myself to your word and to be led and guided by your Holy Spirit so that my mind, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions are all renewed in you, Jesus. That my thoughts, that your thoughts become my thoughts and your ways become my ways and your truth becomes my truth and your promises become my reality and your blessings become an experienced life that I live, Lord. Because this is what you have for me. This is what the Word of God declares. And if there's anything that needs to be cleaned up, then you're going to allow it to come to the surface, Lord God. And at that time, I'll deal with it. And then move on with you. So we praise you and we bless you this day, Lord God. And we commit ourselves afresh. And we thank you, Father, if we've neglected your Word, if we've neglected getting in your Word, that we just say, forgive us, Lord God. And that we will afresh, Lord God, look into this Word and abide in it and stay with it. And continue with it, Lord God, until it becomes a revelation to us, till truth begins to speak to us, till hope arises within our heart, until faith, Lord God, that hope turns into faith, and that faith that works by love, Lord God, just causes us to be in a greater union with you than we were before and experience, Lord God, what your word says that we're to have. And so we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you, Lord God, that no matter what's going on in the world, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and that is the country we live from. We live here on this planet, but we live from that heavenly country. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God. We dwell in a temporary tent here, our bodies, but we're looking forward, Lord God, to an immortal tent. We're looking forward, Lord God, to a face-to-face eternal life with you. But while we're here, Lord, you said that you'll take care of this tent. You'll take care of our lifestyle. You'll take care of our family. You'll take care of us, Lord, while we're living here. That as long as we seek you first and the provision of your kingdom and know that we've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, that everything that we need will be added to us, Lord God. And so we look to you for everything. And everything within our life that is not in agreement to that will have to change. And we will hold to the profession of our faith. Unwavering, looking to you, Jesus. What you started, we agree and we say, you will complete. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.